Hello, and welcome to the Friday, August 1st, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Boston, Massachusetts. Honeypots is, of course, something we have always been interested in. Chris today presents an interesting little diary about how to set up a Raspberry Pi as a honeypot. Many of these sort of credit card size, the pretty cheap computers are available now. Raspberry Pi is probably one of the more popular ones, aside from some of the Android-based devices we have seen in the past. If you want to run something like this, give it a try, see if Chris's diary helps you with some links to a common honeypot software, and please consider submitting your logs, of course, from this honeypot. And it's time again for Black Hat pre-releases in the press. The one that caught my eye today is bad USB. Attacks against USB ports aren't exactly new. The one thing that's kind of new in this attack is that the malicious code is not stored on, for example, a USB drive, but instead the firmware within the USB device is modified. This attack is not limited now to USB drives, but essentially to anything that has a USB port and firmware, which is pretty much any USB device. And now with this modified firmware, the attacker could hide files or scripts. Remember some of these older USB attacks, for example, with fake USB keyboards. In this case, the firmware is modified to send essentially keystrokes to the system and then launch other exploits. There is no great defense against these attacks other than to be careful what USB devices to plug into a particular system. And the US CERT is warning of more point of sales malware. This particular variant that CERT calls backoff started to show up in October 2013 and has been seen as recently as July 2014, so this month. The malware looks functionally similar to prior point of sales malware. It scrapes memory for credit card track data. It is able to log keystrokes. So for example, if a credit card is entered via the keypad, if the track wasn't readable, and then it uses HTTP to report data back to the attackers. It will also modify explorer.exe, that's Windows Explorer, not Internet Explorer, and inject malicious software into explorer.exe. The CERT advisory does provide a number of indicators of compromise and different information about various versions of this particular software. Currently, the US CERT is tracking about half a dozen or so different versions of this back-off point of sales software. And Microsoft today released version 5 of the Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit, or short EMIT. This is the software, the version that now includes the attack surface reduction feature that will, for example, block certain browser plugins and such to limit the attack surface of these tools. Also, the new export address table filtering plus is available in EMIT 5.0. EMIT 5.0 is now also available for 64-bit platforms. Give it a try if you already played with the beta that was available for a while now. You're probably familiar with the features. Most of the recent attacks that we have seen against Windows will be blocked by EMIT, so it's certainly worthwhile to give it a spin. Apparently, credit card companies have a feature where your credit card, if it turns out to be invalid, you can call them and the credit card company will give you a code that you can then provide to the retail employee in order to have the transaction approved. The only problem with this is, as Apple found out, that their particular point of sale system accepted any code. So a person in Tampa, Florida, found out about this and managed to steal $300,000 worth of Apple devices from local Apple stores in multiple transactions. The scammer in this case used a bad credit card. Once the credit card failed and after it was read, he then claimed to call his credit card company and then gave a random code to the retail employee, which then of course led to the transaction being accepted because the code was never actually verified. Apple apparently isn't the only retailer who is vulnerable to this particular problem. But now, with the issue being more widely known, it's likely that, first of all, of course, scammers will try this more often, but hopefully also employees will be more aware of this problem and be more careful about accepting these codes. Well, and this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday.